I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is TCS Plus, Tech Central's Business Technology Show, and it's brought to you today by MTN Business. Now, my guest in the studio today is none other than David Baer. He's a well-known figure in the local ICT industry, and David recently joined MTN, where he is CEO in charge of converged solutions at the MTN Center of Excellence. Now, David has been in the role since November, and before that, he held various senior positions at Liquid Intelligent Technologies. David, welcome. It's good to see you.
Thank you, Duncan. Pleased to be here.
Great. We're going to be talking about the public sector, government, in today's discussion. But before we kick off that discussion, tell me a little bit about the MTN Center of Excellence. What is it exactly?
Yeah, it actually sounds a bit like of a mouthful, so let me try and explain it to you a bit. So it is really an area that we're looking at. How do we move? We are a great mobile company today. How do we start to move into the adjacencies of the business? So in the ICT space. So we look after things like IoT, things like unified comms, cloud, cybersecurity. So we're really looking to see how we can do more for our customers who are already buying their services, particularly their mobility services from us. Mm-hmm. And we want to help solve the other business challenges that we have with the expertise that we have internally. So we're kind of building out what we call a COE, but in effect, it's now becoming MTN Converged Solutions, mm-hmm. where we look at a whole array of different solutions in the ICT space to see how we can then solve those customer problems for our customers.
Okay, and you do this group-wide for MTN?
We do it group-wide. We are in about 16 different markets. We're focusing on 6 key markets, of which, of course, South Africa is by far our most important one. It's the fastest-growing one. It's the one where we feel we can make the most impact, particularly in public service, where we see a lot of areas there today that can benefit from some of our solutions.
Yeah. So what does your day-to-day job entail?
Well, day-to-day is all about looking at new technologies, looking at new partnerships that we can bring in from the rest of the world. Because I think, you know, globally, there's a lot of development happening in areas like AI, big data, and there's a lot of adaptation that needs to happen. It's not just a matter of taking what we see globally and then reselling it in South Africa, but it's how do we adapt it to our African problems and our African challenges that we have. So, you know, you'll see the use cases globally being very different. Mm-hmm. They are looking at things that economically look different to us. So, for example, they labor force is very different, their cost of labor are different, the challenges they face are different. And for us to solve our local problems, the key is for us to translate that into something that works locally in South Africa. So for me, it's about looking for great partnerships, building an amazing team of people with great deep skills and technology understanding to solve the African problems. So it's about people.
So you'd spend a lot of your time looking at what's coming, for example, out of Silicon Valley and then thinking about how that could be applied in the African context.
Absolutely. And thinking about how it can solve the challenges that we have, which is often a bit different to what you see there.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, we're going to be talking about the public sector specifically today, and I'd like to start by talking about South Africa. You say this is your biggest and most important market, and we can chat a little bit about the rest of the African markets a bit later in the discussion. But let's just do a scene setter here. We know that the South African public fiscus is under a lot of pressure. It has been for a number of years. What is the IT spending, the ICT spending picture look like in South Africa currently in the public sector? How has that been impacted by the pressures on the national fiscus? And where do you see the spending priorities of the government?
Yes, yeah, so really, really great question. And I think one of the things that we see is that as the budgets get tighter and as it's harder to get further delivery out of we'll squeeze more out of the budgets that we all have, it's not just a public sector issue either. Yeah. It's something that even private enterprises have as well. How can they be more efficient? How can they create more accountability? How can they be more transparent? How can they do more with less? And I think with a great ICT policy, you're able to unlock a lot of value. You know, in public sector, we talk about things like the citizen engagement, about transparency, about being able to improve service delivery, to make the citizens' lives happier for less. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a key area that we as MTN can focus on, but it's something that the government is taking very seriously and I think can unlock a lot of value as they go further down the line. So, you know, rands being spent in ICT and in the public sector is something that repays itself relatively quickly, mm-hmm. and I think can make a significant impact on people's lives quicker by applying a lot of these new technologies and applying new ways of thinking and new ways of working, really.
So maybe give us some practical examples of where this might be applied and maybe some of the opportunities that MTN is looking at in the public sector specifically? Are there specific government departments that you've identified that are actually more keen or eager to get on board with some of the latest technologies and start to deploy these? And if so, where are you seeing this interest? Yeah.
So, the classic big departments are things like health and education and general digitization that's being driven across all of the different departments. Some of the examples I can give you would be RT15, where we are bringing out that mobility, that connectivity to government departments, but also helping the employees themselves to get better deals and to get better connectivity for themselves and for their families. So we look at how we can sort of combine together the public sector spend and what we can bring as a private enterprise to improve the lives, not only of the citizens, but of the department staff themselves. Other areas we're looking at is things like smart metering. There's an RT29 RFP going on at the moment, which we are participating in, to see how we can start to improve the smart metering of water, of electricity, again, just to make it more efficient, make it easier for government to collect the money that they owed, to be able to manage the systems better, to be able to understand where the capacity is going, how it's being utilized. And more importantly, we see obviously enormous problems with power and load shedding. How do we help manage that? Mm-hmm. If we understand the trends, if we understand where the power is being consumed, how can we help manage that in a sustainable way to allow us to have better or reduced load shedding and ultimately impact the people's lives by improving that? And that's a key part of what we're doing. And things you don't often think about is that when the power comes back in an area, you get enormous demand of the grid as everything turns on. With the smart metering, we're able to be a lot more intelligent about how we bring on certain services. So your geysers, your hot waters might come on later on, for example. Mm-hmm. So there's ways for us to bring that intelligence in through the network, through the connectivity, and to basically make it easier to deliver the public services more efficiently.
Mm-hmm. I believe MTN is also involved in the Gauteng broadband network project. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so that's basically connecting together various schools and libraries and healthcare facilities across the Gauteng area. It is something that has been built by the government over a number of different years, and we're now expanding that. It is a recent project that we've got involved in terms of taking over the existing infrastructure, upgrading that infrastructure, and then expanding it to additional sites across the province. And it's not just about connecting the site together in a very reliable way, but it's also about building Wi-Fi. Right. So there's Wi-Fi availability for citizens, so they can come and get access to that free Wi-Fi network when they're near to one of the connected sites that we have for the provincial government. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge area we're involved in. It's a significant project for MTN, and it's a kind of scaled project that MTN can deliver, because we have a wide coverage across South Africa, and it's something that is an add-on to a lot of what we do already, because we're connecting our cell phone towers together, and we can then branch off from that to connect the different municipality offices and healthcare institutions.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I know that MTN has also deployed some private 5G infrastructure, I think, in the mining industry.
Yeah.
And I know that you're keen to explore opportunities around private 5G in the government context as well. As a starting point, first of all, what is private 5G?
So private 5G is you're taking the 5G network that you have today with the spectrum that we have as a mobile operator, mm-hmm. but developing it for or producing it in situ for certain private institutions. It could be government as well. So for example, a mine, we go in there and we put an isolated 5G network, which will allow standardized 5G devices to connect to it, mm-hmm. not just for the connectivity back to your mobile device, but it's really an Internet of Things connectivity mechanism. So we can bring IoT to those mines and help them solve a lot of the problems that they have. One really good example is collision avoidance and collision detection of the vehicles of the mines. There's a lot of laws going in at the moment to protect the mine workers. And if we can bring our IoT devices out there, we can make the mine safer. Mm-hmm. Making the mine safer makes it safer for the employees. It's a better environment for them. But we can go further than that. We can make it more efficient for the organizations themselves. So if we can track the vehicles, we can track the vehicles in the pits. We can track the vibrations that they're underneath, for example. We can track what parts are starting to wear down first. So we can help reduce the downtime mm-hmm. of the mine. And 5G, because it's low latency and it's high bandwidth, it allows us to take a lot of data very quickly into a central system. And again, part of the private 5G is bringing private cloud to the edge as well. Mm-hmm. So we can deploy our cloud nodes to the mine and do a lot of that processing locally, because it takes a lot of bandwidth. You don't want to bring that all the way back to the cloud. You process it locally. Use AI to detect, so for example, safety issues. We can detect, are people wearing hard hats? Mm-hmm. Are people wearing high-vis jackets? Are people congregating in certain areas? And you can see how that can also now translate into the public sector.
Yeah.
For example, disaster recovery or emergencies. You know, we can deploy the private 5G networks to allow communications to continue in a emergency situation, in a natural disaster situation, when maybe the overall network is down, but the first responders that are there need to be able to communicate very effectively and very fast, mm-hmm. and allow us to bring also that local compute to help them solve their problems that they have locally.
Interesting. So what are some other examples that where you could deploy this in the public sector? Education, maybe?
Yeah, so education in schools. Again, the backhaul is looking at how we're now backhauling some of that 5G out. So another very good example is police stations and even border posts, where they need to have great connectivity locally, but very often the networks and the backhauls are not fully implemented to the scale that would be needed. We could maybe backhaul that, for example, on our network or over satellite. Mm-hmm. And it allows the local border post or the local police station to have the full access to the normal cloud services that they need to have. And it allows them to check their central databases, allows them to use all the new technology like AI, for example, on detection of people and biometrics and facial identity. And all of those are positives they wouldn't normally be able to do if they're simply using a standard network that may not be robust in that particular area. And it's dedicated to them.
Mm-hmm.
So we can solve the power problem for them. We can solve the backhaul problem for them. And then they get that world-class connectivity that really enables all the other IT processes to be efficient and to be successful. Because one of the biggest problems we have with cloud today is actually the backhaul.
Mm.
And many business cases of cloud will fail where there isn't great connectivity.
Yes.
And then, of course, those remote areas, the remote schools, the remote police stations, the remote border posts, suddenly don't get the same world-class access to IT as they would if they're in the city centers.
Mm.
So by bringing that 5G out there, we're able to basically extend the capability right out to the local users and really give them that benefit.
And I suppose in some of the areas we're talking about here, mines, for example, but also police stations, border posts, et cetera, are probably not that well served with connectivity at the moment. They're in remote areas that may only have access to 2G or 3G services.
Correct.
But if you deploy this in on a specific contract, then you know that the business users, at least at that location, will have access to the best that's available, even if they're in the middle of nowhere.
Exactly, because we're aggregating that link and bringing it back to the cloud centrally. But also don't forget, Duncan, the nice thing about that is that people that live in the area equally can have access to that great connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing stops us, for example, putting up a public Wi-Fi spot there on the back of that connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly this one little node that you're putting down for the core essential services of the police station suddenly can be expanded to the community. And I think that really brings a lot of value down then to the citizens, who ultimately then also get the access to it. And how can it help them? It can help them with their job hunting, job searching, training, education material. You know, so much material is available online today, but people who are not well connected are disadvantaged.
Mm.
So something that MTN is doing is bringing that local capability to them. So wherever they are, they're able to have the same advantages as anyone else that's connected in the city.
Out of interest, I've always heard about these private networks in the context of 5G, but could you do them with other older technologies as
absolutely.
Well?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it doesn't have to be 5G. And one of the reasons people like the 5G is because it's by design a very low latency, high bandwidth network.
Yes.
So it's very robust. But you can do it with Wi-Fi. You can do it with 4G, you can even do it with 3G. You know, the radio access technology doesn't have to necessarily be 5G, but as 5G starts to scale up across the world, the devices of 5G are becoming much more cost effective.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very robust technology that we see having a lot of lifetime. And therefore, that's why a lot of the businesses now today are building on fiber private 5G, but doesn't have to be 5G itself for the RAN network. Very true.
We know that in South Africa, corruption is a problem in the public sector. Can technology play a role in helping deal with that?
Yeah, you know, any public sector globally has got challenges that have to be solved, for example, around the corruption area. And I think that technology can certainly help because it can increase the level of transparency. It can increase the level of reporting. You know, number one step is visibility. Do you have visibility into what's going on? Do you have visibility what's happening locally? Because again, very often when they're disconnected, if they're in a disconnected environment where they're not connected to the center, it becomes much harder to be able to see that accountability and that transparency. So I think technology makes an enormous difference of it because you're able to start to have some visibility into areas you wouldn't normally have. So yeah, absolutely. I think ICT has a big area advantage there.
Now, David, I know a passion of yours, and in fact, your most recent job was very much in the cybersecurity space. Tell me a bit about security in the public sector. I know there have been some very high-profile cyber attacks on government institutions in South Africa in the last few years. There was the Transnet case a couple of years ago where there was a ransomware attack. Most recently, there was the incident involving the CIPC, but there have been many others. What role do you think companies like MTN can help play in protecting government information, government assets?
Yeah, it is a passion. You know, cybersecurity is a passion of mine indeed. And I think it's so important that as we start to increase the access to people of cloud services, we increasing their surface area, their attack surface area. And unfortunately now these attackers are becoming smarter and smarter, and it's becoming more and more automated, more and more scripted. You can hire hackers to come and help you do something if you've got particularly nefarious objectives. Mm. So it's becoming easier for them to have access to it. And I think that where someone like MTN can come and help is that it's not just about the device. It's not just about the firmware or having the latest operating system. Mm. It's really about the people. Can we train the people into some basic understandings of cybersecurity? How do we make them more aware of what's going on? Mm-hmm. You know, do you use a complex password? Are you using, for example, a password program that can store your passwords? Mm-hmm. Do you have different passwords for each of your systems? Do you have MFA enabled, multi-factor authentication? So it's not just your password, it's your password plus something else, maybe an SMS that you can confirm yourself on. So it's really about training and making sure everyone's cyber aware. And that can make an enormous impact to the businesses, not just about updating to your latest firmware. Equally so, the other big thing is supply chain. You really are as strong as your weakest link. And so if you've got a supply chain where somebody further down the supply chain is compromised, that is a way for that attacker now to move further up the stack into mm-hmm. those organizations that they are effectively selling to. So we are very strong believers in small business. There are hundreds of thousands of small businesses across South Africa, and of course millions across Africa. And we're looking to how we can train them to be more resilient as well, because we do believe it really is a supply chain issue. And if we can improve that overall, we start to raise the game. That's not to say that we don't need to come into the public sector and to enterprises to help them with a much more robust overall architecture for cybersecurity, but it really does start with the people. And by far, the majority of attacks come in through something like email. Mm-hmm. And they get initiated by somebody in your organization that's clicking a link. Mm-hmm. So very simply, just making people be aware and understanding what a safe link looks like, what an unsafe link looks like, actually can make an enormous impact for relatively little money. Mm-hmm. And of course, the challenge you have is with the ransomware now.
Yes.
You know, what do you do, right? The big dilemma people face is, do you pay, don't you pay? If you pay, how do you know they're actually going to stop? If you don't pay, it's going to get leaked. You don't want to be in that scenario. You want to be stopping it long before that mm-hmm. happens. And that's something that we can help with at MTN.
Right, right. As a matter of interest, what advice do you give to government agencies if they are hit by a ransomware
attack? It's a great question. And I think it has to be a little bit tempered by the exact situation. In general, mm-hmm. the advice is do not pay mm-hmm. because you're probably not going to hear the last of them. They're probably going to come back to you for more money. They're probably going to leak the data anyway. Mm-hmm. So the general advice is do not pay. We do understand some scenarios where people have paid, and very often it's the insurance companies themselves that are driving whether or not a payment is made. Mm-hmm. But of course, if we take the value away from the hackers by being able to stop all those payments, you wouldn't have it. It's a similar mm-hmm. thing to the kidnapping scenario, right? As long as nobody pays, it doesn't pay. Therefore, the ship won't be hijacked. Someone yeah. won't be kidnapped. But it becomes challenging, and there are individual cases where we don't always know the full details as to what went on yeah. and why it needs to happen. But
okay.
in general, let's try to take money out of the system because that'll then stop mm-hmm. it happening in the first place.
Now, you mentioned there's six key markets you look after. One of them is South Africa, but there's five others. Do you have different conversations in those markets compared to South Africa? What are some of those conversations you're having?
Good question. Yes, we do. Because I think different markets are at different levels of maturity. Mm-hmm. So the markets that we look after, the key focus markets for us is obviously South Africa. And then on the West Coast, we have Nigeria, we have Ghana, we have Cote d'Ivoire, and we have Cameroon. And then we look after some countries in the center, for example, Uganda, Benin, Congo, Brazzaville. So the conversations we have, there's some fundamental areas that are the same everywhere, mm-hmm. but different markets are different levels of maturity. So we may be looking at the more, for example, in the less mature markets, we may be looking at things like, you know, IaaS, infrastructure as a service, VMs, the basic cloud services, the basic cloud connectivity. Somewhere in South Africa, we're going a bit further up the chain and trying to understand what platform services people would like to have, or even the fully managed standard services that we can bring to the organization. So it really depends on their level of their journey, mm-hmm. and very often indexed by how good the connectivity is in the country. The cheaper the connectivity, the more abundant it is, the higher the bandwidth connectivity that you can provide in the market, the more the cloud services get adopted, therefore the more they get exposed to the issues of cybersecurity, and therefore the conversation slightly changes in that direction.
So do you travel a lot? Do you spend a lot of time on the ground in the rest of Africa?
I do. Mm. I do. I probably spend 3/4 of my time in different markets. Yes.
Okay. And does MTN have teams on the ground?
We do. We do. My team, the MTN Converged Solutions team, have people on the ground in these 6 key markets, mm-hmm. a significant size, number of people, in fact. And then the smaller markets, we have a few more people. We rely very heavily on the opcos. But keep in mind, what is really strong about MTN is the pan-African scale that we have. Mm-hmm. So we are across so many markets, and whereas we may not be there as MTN Converged Solutions today, we are there as a significant player in the mobile space. Mm-hmm. Number one brand in Africa, a lot of muscle, a lot of capabilities in all of these markets. So it's very easy for us to come in and try to sell as an overlay all these new ICT services to enable our customers to do more.
Well, David, that was a great conversation. Thank you very much. David Baer is CEO in charge of Converged Solutions at MTN. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with Tech Central today.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, Duncan.
Thank you.